The following is a production of the Lance J Radio Network and Best in the World Sports, a division of Definitive Visions Multimedia. The opinions and views expressed are strictly those of the host and do not represent the views of Lance J Radio Network.
You're listening to Jonesy and Brown.
Both you are crazy.
With Mike Jones and John Brown.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world-famous Jonesy and Brown Show, hosted by your favorite Philly sports bulls. That is my man Mike Jones over there. I am John Brown. Hope you are all having a good week. Hope everything is well with you. Hope you are enjoying the sports. Mike Jones, I came home from work. I got home from work about 1 in the afternoon on a Thursday. I turn on my television so I can watch some TV while I eat my lunch. And there's like 5 college basketball games on.
Mm-hmm.
I love this time of year, bro.
Conference tournaments are.
I love this time of year. Weekday afternoon college hoops is probably one of my greatest joys. I love it. I love college sports because when college sports is on, and I'm talking about football and basketball, when college sports is on, it's on all day. Like when you, on a Saturday afternoon during college football season, you can sit down in front of your television at noon and literally watch college football all day.
All day.
And the same with college basketball. You're going to find a game on a Saturday and watch all day. So I love it. I've been loving it. I'm enjoying the conference championships. I will enjoy going into March Madness Thursday and Friday of March. The first Thursday and Friday of March Madness, still probably one of my favorite moments of the year, my favorite sports times of the year. So I always love that. It is
what,
all
what about
good.
Tuesday and Wednesday?
I will watch that too, although I still feel like they are fundamentally getting the Tuesday and Wednesday wrong, but I will still watch. I still have a problem with the way they do Tuesday and Wednesday because they do it wrong. I understand.
They do it wrong.
I understand you disagree with me. You're cool with the way they do it, even though it's mediocre and they make it so it sucks. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, the first, you know, they wanted to add.
So I do have a question. What's up? How much of your feelings about those teams 65 through 68 is based on the fact that your school would, if they made the tournament, always be relegated to one of those 4 spots?
Now, for the record, now it has been a while. However, my alma mater, Morgan State University, had a 3-year run of postseason success.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the tournament 2 straight years. Went to the NIT once. Now, the 2 years they went to the tournament, they were a 15 seed. So they played.
Okay.
Got their first round thrashing and moved on. First year they got in, they played Blake Griffin in Oklahoma, got thrashed. Second year they played West Virginia, got thrashed. And then 1 year they played Virginia Tech in the NIT. However, okay. But your point is valid, though. It didn't apply to my school, but your point is valid. I do believe that it negatively affects the HBCUs. I feel like every year there's always an HBCU in the first 4. And I'm annoyed by that. I don't like that. I believe, like I said, and this was this rabbit hole that you just wanted to just throw out there to begin with.
This isn't our usual argument. I actually wanted to explore this conversation a little bit. Because here's the thing. I agree with you. It does seem to affect HBCUs. You went to HBCU. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've watched your share of HBCU sports. Mm-hmm. Honestly, how often are those teams and leagues on par with some of their counterparts that are more diverse?
I think that part of that is a slippery slope, because I feel like when HBCU teams get to a point where they can recruit and they feel the better HBCU teams, mm-hmm, that are closer in talent to other counterparts, non-HBCU, mm-hmm, counterparts.
The those state schools and the, mm-hmm, yeah, the Dukes and the things like that, yeah, right?
Those teams, that's when they stop putting those teams on their schedule. You know, when you see the HBCUs play the bigger schools, mm-hmm, it's always the schools at the bottom. It's always the HBCUs at the bottom of their conference. You know, it's when you look at those conference standings, the teams, mm-hmm, at the top of the conference, the teams that are winning, aren't on those big schools' radars. They aren't on those big schools' schedules. Like, I remember when I first got to Morgan State, we played Georgetown every year. Mm-hmm. So I mean, our team used to play Iverson. I remember my freshman year, we played, you know, some of the big names on the schedule. We played Iverson in Georgetown, mm-hmm, played Joe Smith in Maryland,
mm-hmm,
and we played Clemson that year as well. I'm not sure who was at Clemson at that time.
Okay, how'd you do?
We got thrashed. We got destroyed. It is what it is. But the thing was, at that point in time, that was back when Frank Mitchell and Coppin State were killing the MEAC.
Mm-hmm.
Georgetown didn't want to play Coppin State.
Mm.
Maryland wouldn't want to play Coppin State.
But
that was when, and that's the same Coppin State team. When I was at Morgan, and Coppin State was at the begin, it was at the top of the MEAC. That was when Coppin State had a 15 seed. I believe they beat Richmond as a 15-2 upset.
But the effect that you're describing, that does not only apply to HBCUs, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah. If you're some small school or mid-major that's a struggling program, those big schools will schedule you.
Mm-hmm.
The second you start to make a little bit of a come up, they don't want to schedule you.
No, they don't.
Because they're looking for the next cupcake to put on their early season, when they go out of conference schedule.
Yeah.
So that's not just HBCUs. Smaller programs have to deal with that when they're trying to be on the come up.
So this was actually
why I framed my question. This is like playing in a league like the MEAC,
mm-hmm,
could be the problem itself.
You know? And that might be why the MEAC is in the shape it's in now. That's why some of the bigger name schools that have been in the MEAC my whole life are now starting to leave. That's why Hampton left. That could be part of the reason why Hampton left. North Carolina A&T left. Florida A&M has left. That's why. Mm-hmm. That could be why Howard is thinking about leaving.
You want to find yourself in a conference where you have higher level of competition, and they're, mm-hmm, in conference, so they can't duck you.
Mm-hmm.
They have to play you.
No, I understand. And I guess to me, and I speak for. From my perspective, being an HBCU alum,
mm-hmm,
you know, so I understand that this is not necessarily an HBCU exclusive issue, but I speak from the perspective I know.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point of, you know, bringing up the first four, I've always felt like the first four would be a better product if it was the last four in versus the first four out. And you play for a higher seed. You know, I've always said that I believe that if you win your conference tournament, you shouldn't have to play in the first four. You should be in the field of 64. I know you disagree, and I understand why you disagree. Because sometimes you're going to find that 12-win team that just gets hot at the end of the season,
And not only do they get hot late, they could be coming out of one of those weaker conferences that didn't really have any.
You and I disagree, but it has never been because I don't. It has never come from a place where I don't understand where you're coming from. I've always understood where you were coming from. You've made valid points. I just, you know, as far as that's concerned, I just think you're wrong. But nonetheless, I mean, that's how I feel. I will still watch the first four. I will still enjoy the first four, even though I feel like it could be better. I think it would be a much better product if you're putting the last four in versus the first four out. I think that's more compelling basketball. I think that's a better basketball game than two. Yes, I think that's more compelling. Yes. Than two teams competing for a 16 seed.
All right. So we're talking about a TV product now.
Yes.
And you've got a field of 68 teams.
Yes.
And on a day where you only have two games.
Yes.
The two games you're going to give me are the worst four teams. You're going to tell me that's a better product.
That's a better product than Fairleigh Dickerson versus Texas Southern. That's what I'm saying. You have two teams fighting that could be an 11 seed, a 10 seed maybe, versus two teams being, you know, why make a team jump through a hoop just to be a 16 seed? Why make a team jump through an extra hoop
if you're a 16 seed, you deserve all the hoops you have to jump through.
No, I disagree with that, but I will also say this, and this is part of because I haven't been able to talk to players who have been in this, who have this perspective. And this is also something just check our archives. Jonesy and I have had this discussion plenty of times, but we've talked about what type of game has the tournament game feel. I understand that the first four is a part of the NCAA tournament. It is March Madness. You know, that is a tournament game. But I've also said, man, that's not a tournament game. Like if you're playing on Tuesday, and Wednesday, did you really go to the if you're playing on, was it Monday and Tuesday or Tuesday and Wednesday? I can't remember.
I believe it's Tuesday.
Tuesday and Wednesday. If you play on Tuesday and Wednesday, do you really feel like you played in the tournament? If you go to Dayton before you go to wherever your first round destination is, do you really feel like you played in the tournament? And I say this as somebody who's watching from home. Now, there might be someone who played on one of these teams, who's been in one of these situations, who might tell me differently, who might be able to add a different level of perspective. And I understand that by definition of the term, yes, the first four is an NCAA tournament game. I understand that.
But man, that's all I've ever said.
Yeah, I understand. Once again,
whether or not it feels like a tournament game, it probably doesn't. It probably doesn't feel like a tournament game. You know, especially for people of our age, what we're used to, like Thursday, get out of class or come home early, and the game's on at noon, and that's the start of the tournament. When it feels like the tournament to you.
Yeah.
No arguing that. I'll never argue that part. They're just tournament games.
like I said, maybe one day you and I will have a forum important enough where a former athlete can come on and say, hey, man, I played in the first four. And you know what? It is a tournament game. It does feel like a tournament game. Going to Dayton, so you could play this game and move on in the tournament. Do you even feel like you're in the tournament if you go to Dayton for the first four and you lose In my opinion, if you go to Dayton and you lose, you should still be eligible for the NIT. You should still be able to play the NIT.
Oh, man. What happens if you lose on Thursday? Should you be able to go to NITC?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, yes. If you lose on Tuesday, I'm sorry, Thursday. No, that's the tournament. No, you're out. But that's, you know, that's neither here nor there. But March Madness is here. It is my favorite time of year. I got a couple quick points of contention I want to throw out to you before we get into the meat of our show today. Men's tournament is getting ready to start. Women's tournament is getting ready to start. Did you watch that women's game between LSU and South Carolina?
No.
Didn't watch it at all. Had no interest in watching it. You know, something to do.
I mean, I saw clips of it. I saw what happened at the end of the game, but I didn't find myself watching. What happened at the end of the game?
Yeah, at the end of the game, girls was ready to tussle, man.
If you're out there playing hard, that stuff happens.
Yeah.
My only real thought about that was, he's a dummy, and what was his plan? Mm-hmm. That's what I want to know.
He's gonna jump in there and fight girls,
right?
On national TV, he's gonna go up there and square up with a woman.
Cops, coaches, security, everything around.
No, it looked as if.
Once he jumped over the table, he's like, "Oh, she's kind of tall."
Yeah. Let me ask you something, man. Do you have a family member? If it was to go down, would get arrested for you? You in a situation?
Not fighting girls.
Not fighting. Not fight, but you do have somebody, because dude got arrested quick.
Mm-hmm.
And the cops was right there.
I don't know what else he thought was going to happen.
I don't get that either. Like, he was right there. Dude was right there.
He didn't take the long way around. He went directly over the table.
Yeah, and the cops are right there, and they scooped him right up, took him right away. He's gone. What was he thinking? I don't know. I don't know. Quite frankly, what do you say to him after that? You say thank you. You say, dude, you're an idiot.
Say you inform him that he's banned from all future games.
Yeah. No. I got you, man. I got you. Brother was down. He was down to Rod. Rod where? I don't know.
I really want to know what his plan was.
I don't know. And another thing about that is, and I could be wrong, because I'm admitting that I don't watch a lot of women's basketball. I watch around this time because I feel like championship basketball is a universal language. Or I should, in fact, I feel like championship sports is a universal language. Whereas in a sport, you don't have to necessarily watch it all, but when you get the teams playing for a championship, there's something that you understand. There's something that there's a level of understanding that you have when you see any sport when it comes down to winning championships. So here you have a team playing for a championship, so now I'm watching. But then you see a bench is clearing fight where basically the benches for both teams, with the exception of maybe one or two players, get ejected. And I feel like I might be wrong here, but I not that it happens often, but I feel like I see that more in the women's game when there are skirmishes, when there are fights. And I'm not sure why, because this has been a rule for a long time. This has been a rule in all of basketball for a long time, in both the pro game and the college game, that if there is a skirmish, if there is a fight on the court and you leave the bench, you get ejected.
Mm-hmm.
However, and I feel like that rule has kind of served its purpose, whereas now, you know, teams are mindful of that. that when there's a disagreement, when something like this happens, either the players on the bench will
you're likely to get suspended for leaving the bench.
Yeah.
Not just ejected.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it seems to happen more when there are skirmishes in women's games. And I might be wrong. I feel like that's something I'm seeing. And I you know, if you're watching, if you're listening and you think I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. But I feel like this happens more.
I can't say that I've watched enough to really have an opinion on it.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say one way or another.
Uh-huh.
But so all I can say is when you're really out there and you're playing hard and you're giving it everything you got, that stuff will happen sometimes.
No, I understand, because I feel like even in the nature of the play, when you see what happened, both teams were, you know, it was a game where both teams were going hard at one another. It was a rivalry game.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have two teams that know each other, two teams that, you know, it's a conference game where, so you know that they've played each other twice already this season.
Mm-hmm. And in the women's game, players stay for 3 and 4 years. Mm-hmm. So you played each other 2-3 times a year, every mm-hmm. year for the last 3-4 years with some of these players.
Exactly.
There is felt familiarity.
Yes. And you take it back to those old, you know, the old days of men's basketball where more players stayed 2-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those Duke Carolina games. You know, those Villanova UConn games, those UConn Syracuse games, those Michigan Ohio State games, UCLA USC games, where teams played each other twice a year and for 2-3 years. Georgia, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky, Louisville. You know, I remember living in Baltimore, you know. Living in Baltimore, Baltimore is very much Maryland College Park town. When Maryland was still in the ACC, and Maryland was trying to establish themselves as that number three in the top tier of the ACC. Maryland was trying to say, hey, there's Duke, there's UNC, you can put them at any order you want, but at number three, there's us. So seeing UNC two times a year, Duke two times a year. So now you have that. So, you know, so tempers are flaring, you know, there's a little bit of contempt, there's a little bit of dislike, maybe even hatred, and that kind of just spilled over at the end of the game. You know, young lady from LSU kind of threw a light little shove. And the young lady from South Carolina wasn't having it. Mm-hmm. And now it's time to play the feud. Now, hey, if you can't get along, get a fair one going. That's how we do it. Next thing you know, everybody on the floor, including the young lady's brother, who's now, you know, who might be home from jail.
I'm sure he's home.
Yeah.
Yes, you know. His pockets are going to be a little lighter now. That's all.
What do you say to him when he gets home from jail?
Nothing.
You laugh at him? You walk to the door. Your brother gets arrested for trying to fight a woman on national television. He gets home.
You don't even say nothing to him.
No. No. Let me tell you something.
He already knows. Mm-mm.
I know. Oh, see, here's the thing. And maybe that just makes me and my sister jerks. Because if my brother got arrested for trying to fight a girl on national television, I'm sure he knows what he did wrong. But I got me and my sister, even if my brother was trying to protect my sister, me and my sister would have plenty to say. And he's going to hear every last bit of it. You dummy. You idiot. What have you done? You besmirched our family's name out here trying to fight some girls on TV. You a grown man. And if it was me, they do the exact same thing. Now look, the problem is I'm not jumping no tables. I'd want to get involved, but you know, I'm a larger individual. I can't right, jump no so, tables. So hey, all stop. Jokes aside, leave her be.
Now, all jokes aside, first of all, you're at an athletic event. Uh-huh. If you're in the stands, under no circumstances should you be involved with anything going on the court, period. Mm-hmm. I don't care who's playing, men, women, your brother, your uncle, doesn't matter. Under no circumstances should you be involved with what's going on the court. There are people there whose job that is to deal with that stuff. Mm-hmm. And their name is not you. So, stay. That's number one.
That is number one, yes.
And so, he sees, now, like, if that were his brother on the court, what are the chances you think he runs out there to try to start something with a bunch of Division I basketball playing men? The big man for NC State just knocked down your little brother.
Me personally, I'm doing the same.
You think he runs out there like that, all hype?
Nah, I think he stays back. Hey, stop. Hey, please stop. Hey, leave him be.
Right.
Hey, don't do that. Oh, come on.
I don't think he runs up on some 6'10", 250-pound dude like that.
Maybe not. Probably not.
So now I have to ask, what's he looking to do here?
I think he was looking to get on television. I think he was looking to make a name for himself. It is what it is, bruh. I don't know, but it added a level of excitement, intrigue to what was a good game. I thought it was a good game. Hopefully, Carolina. I hope Carolina and LSU see each other again. I know people were saying, hey, that might be a more compelling national championship game than a Carolina or an LSU versus Iowa and Caitlin Clark. Maybe. I could see it. I'm not quite sure exactly. I know Caitlin Clark is a beast. She's an absolute beast, but I am not quite sure exactly how good Iowa is as a team. Where it seems like both LSU and Carolina are better. They have star players, but might be better teams. Might have better supporting cast around their star players. And, you know, if it comes to that, you know, luckily for Jonesy and Brown, we know some people that could come on the show and drop some women's basketball knowledge on us. We have a choice. There's a plethora. of dope personalities who would be willing to rock with Jonesy and Brown and talk some women's college basketball. They're probably wondering why we don't do this more. And I tell them all the time, that is all Jonesy's fault. I tell them, hey, man, they say, hey, man, how come y'all don't talk about women's sports? I'm like, hey, man, hey, look, I got to level with you. I have to be completely honest and transparent with you. It's Jonesy's fault.
So I got to take the blame for that one.
Nah, I wouldn't do you like that. But I have heard one thing, and I want to put this out to you before we pivot off this.
Okay.
I have heard people say that they feel like this season, women's college basketball and March Madness is poised to be a little bit more exciting than the men's game because there's a little more familiarity with players than there are with players on the men's side.
Okay. I've heard that narrative from several people as well, and I will say this. This season in particular, all the traditional storylines that we like to use to create excitement going into the tournament for the men's game exist on the women's side of the bracket, but not necessarily on the men's side. This was not a year where you have a Zion Williamson in the freshman class. Like, there's no superstar household name in the freshman class. There's some good basketball players. But, and then of course we know in the men's game, you don't see a lot of star talent make it to the second, much less third or fourth year. So you don't have the level of familiarity. You don't have the name known talent. And you don't have a Coach K. You don't have a Boeheim at Syracuse. Like, you've got Izzo in Michigan State still. And you got Calipari at Kentucky, who personally I have mixed feelings about his track record as a coach, but he's had his share of success and he's a great recruiter, so no question there. So, but it's not the same level of intrigue in the men's game that you saw 10, 15 years ago. Whereas the women's game is ascending. Now, all that being said, you actually turn on the TV, watch the product on the floor. I'm not going to guarantee you that either side is going to be more exciting. You're likely to find very good, very competitive basketball games going on in both brackets. But the storylines tend to favor the women's game this year.
I feel like, as far as this topic goes, for me, talk to me in a week. Going into the tournament, I'm pretty much with you. Whereas, you know, the storylines, the familiar players, all that sides with the women's game. You know more storylines, you know more names, and you're seeing, you're at a point where, you know more women, there are more women coach. Like, you talked about not being, there are no more Coach K's. There are no more
Jay Wright. Williams,
no Jay Wrights, no Roy Williams's in men's basketball. But now you got, you got Kim Mulkey, who can play both, who can play the hero to the LSU fans, but is a good villain to other people. Like Coach K was. If you're a Duke fan, you loved Coach K. If you're anybody else, you hated Coach K. And that's part of what made him great, because Coach K was going Coach K no matter what, you know, win, lose, or draw. You know, same could have been said for, you know, Dean Smith, Roy Williams, Bobby Knight, you know, whatever. But now you also got, but in the women's game.
Time out. Conversation is changing now. I don't want to talk about this anymore. Adam Schefter's reporting as we speak.
Oh, no.
That former Bucks linebacker Devin White is signing a one-year deal with the Eagles. The Eagles have invested in a linebacker officially. How do you feel?
What?
Former Bucks linebacker Devin White is signing a one-year deal worth up to $7.5 million with the Eagles, per Adam Schefter.
What position does this guy play?
Linebacker.
Professional football.
He's a pretty good one, too.
A linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
We signed a linebacker.
We signed a linebacker. This is why I had to preempt the conversation we were having.
Yeah, well, that would kind of sidetrack me trying to. Yeah, that beats talking about Bob Knight. That's pretty big. That is interesting.
So, how are you feeling about Howie's season so far?
So far, so good. I feel like, and honestly, this is part of, as a fan, this is part of what separates, in my opinion, Eagles fans from fans of other teams in the NFC East. Because it is very much looking as if the Eagles are winning the championship of the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And when an off-season championship does not lead to a real championship, heads should fly. There will be anger. There will be disgust. And I feel like too often...
Coming up short this season will cost Sirianni his job.
Yeah.
No questions asked.
Yes. Yes. As well it should.
And I wouldn't say he has to get to the Super Bowl, but you better get to the divisional round, and you probably need to get to a conference championship in this roster.
Yes. And absolutely under no circumstances should anything look like last season. Or at least the end of last season.
I mean, honestly, your defense shouldn't look like it looked all year last year. And your offense definitely needs to be better than it was down the stretch.
We are about to see the stuff hit the fan with Howie Roseman. We all said that Howie Roseman he had bought himself some time. He had bought himself some patience with what he was able to build in the aftermath of the Chip Kelly era. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he was able to build a team that was then, that after a season was in the Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then
there was the whole Carson Wentz saga when we brought in Hurts and his injuries and all of that. And that looked bad. And there were some of us calling for Howie's job at that point.
Mm-hmm. However,
and then he rebounded quickly again and was right back in the Super Bowl in 2 years.
But at this point now, I feel like you are looking at a season where we need to start seeing a little more return on some of these draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
It is time, it is now time to see why you drafted Jordan Davis, why you drafted Jalen Carter, why you drafted N'Kobe Dean. You now have a solid veteran who has produced, a solid veteran with a track record now in your defensive backfield. Now, at linebacker, you've invested some money in a linebacker, and you also have a young linebacker in training sitting who's going to be playing right there next to him.
Mm-hmm. And I honestly would not be surprised to see them draft a linebacker this year as well.
Yes. Yes.
If they were to use one of their second round picks on a linebacker, that would work. Because you have minimal offensive needs. Mm-hmm. And so your draft is likely to be very defense heavy this year.
Yes.
If that's the case, why not think about using one of your second round picks on a linebacker? And then if that's the case, you have a Devin White. Mm-hmm. A N'Kobe Dean coming back from injury, who's been limited by injuries through his first 2 years of his career. So we really haven't got to see him much to make any kind of judgments one way or the other on how effective he could be at the NFL level. So there's a question mark there. It seems to only make sense with White on a one-year deal to invest in a rookie this year.
Yeah. I think, honestly,
Trotter Jr., but
you would like that. They brought in Trotter Jr.
I wouldn't be mad at that at all. The kid can play football.
And he's not
his father's style of linebacker. He's a much more modern day linebacker. Mm-hmm. He's not what
Where would you take him? Would you take him? I mean, because I've heard that name before.
You have 2 second round picks. Depending on what your board looks like, I personally would be comfortable using either of the second round picks to draft him. Mm-hmm. But, I'm not in the room. Mm-hmm. I'll just say if they use one of their second round picks on him, I'm okay with it.
All right. I like this move. I like what we're seeing, but I feel like honestly, what makes me confident is the fact that I know that heads will roll if this all blows up. Heads will absolutely roll if this all blows up. We've sat here over the years and watched the Redskins win the offseason championship. And that was like back to the Dan Snyder days. When they dropped their whole.
That was Dan Snyder. It didn't matter what he did.
No, what I'm saying, I understand they got, it's a new regime and whatever.
First of all,
but nonetheless,
Dan Snyder did things like spend 20% of his salary cap on a defensive tackle. You're going to lose like that.
An old defensive tackle.
Right. So, it's a big name, but that moves like that aren't good moves.
No.
Howie's investing in players who still have quality years left in them.
These are moves that are on paper and in essence, good moves. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been a move yet that he's made that I've heard that you hear people say, hey, that's too much money. Or, hey, that guy doesn't necessarily fit the scheme here. Now, I've heard people like, and that will bring us into bringing in Saquon Barkley, who now we can like again. We're now free to like again. Welcome home, Saquon. But nonetheless, in essence, we sit here, we're fans who have been screaming, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. And what do? They go out and get someone who can run the ball, who can run the ball in between the tackles, who can run the ball up the middle, who can catch the ball out the backfield.
He can do everything.
He can do everything that we have been begging.
I'm going to go ahead and say this, and the people can take this how they will.
Yes.
A healthy Saquon Barkley is the most complete running back the Eagles have ever had.
Say that again for the people in the back.
A healthy Saquon Barkley is the most complete running back the Eagles have ever had.
You're speaking truth right there. You're speaking truth right there. I like it.
I mean, I know we love B. West. I love B. West. B. West was the man.
Yes.
B. West did. His strength was not running between the tackles.
No.
Shady McCoy, he was a good running back. Mm-hmm. Not Saquon.
And
who else you got for me?
And honestly, I know.
You go back to Ricky Waters.
For who? For what?
Right.
I think I agree with you. And even let's see. Even as people might say that Saquon was injury prone, I think you might have been able to say that.
He had to carry an offense with no other weapons and no offensive line and no quarterback.
But he's been able to maintain.
He's
been
overworked.
But the point is, he has been able to maintain a level of health over these last two seasons. Yes, mm-hmm. he had health injuries at the beginning of his career, but he's been able to stay pretty healthy over these last two seasons. And now you have a much better offensive line. A much better offensive line. And quite frankly, coaches who will tend to fall in love with the passing game from time to time. So, you know, he should be all right. He might not. And hopefully.
I mean, he is a guy who also caught, I want to say the number was 91 passes his rookie year. Mm-hmm. He's a very good receiver out of the backfield as well. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to just hand him off the ball to get him involved in the offense.
No, you don't. So all in all, what
free agency quarterback will have to be willing to check down, but that's another story.
Yeah. What do you think so far this offseason? You got Saquon, you got Bryce Huff. Now, you know,
you got Devontae Parker. You got Devin White, CD Deuce, excuse me, is back.
What do you think about that, man?
If he can play football, I'm good with it.
That's funny, all I
need, play football.
I read
something. We knew he was just feeling emotional when he said what he said on the way out. We all knew that. I don't think anyone here took it that personally at all.
I think, honestly, because we say it all the time, yes, there are enough. We all know, if you're a Philly fan, if you're a true Philly fan, a true, honest Philly fan, you know obnoxious people.
Oh, absolutely.
You know obnoxious fans.
You may be one of them.
You may be one. In fact, how about this? If you claim to be an Eagles fan and you feel like you don't know anyone who's obnoxious, you're the obnoxious Eagles fan. CJ is talking about you. He's talking about you. If you really feel like the man apologized. Yeah.
He's happy to be back. We're happy to have him back.
Yeah. You play well. Your team goes to the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden you're expendable. You wouldn't feel some sort of way?
Exactly. You were tied for the league lead in interceptions. Even having missed three or four games, you're still tied for the league lead in interceptions. You were an integral part of that defense.
You come to a defense that didn't get a lot of interceptions before you got there.
And then your agent tells you, we feel like you should be valued here. And the Eagles come in with an offer that doesn't add up to what your agent tells you you should be valued at. You're going to feel a little insulted, I guess, for lack of a better word.
I'm glad he's back.
I'm hoping for a lot less Reed Blankenship this year.
Think this the depth chart needs him. The locker room needs him. I read somewhere someone saying that the collapse of the Eagles could also be attributed to lack of people in the locker room who could right that ship when things started getting off, when things started going left. And they compared it to how the Sixers are once they got rid of locker room guys like a Pat Bev and a Marcus Morris to bring in Lowry and Hill. I ask you, do you feel like that's a fair analogy, a fair comparison?
Well, first, that's a tough comparison to make across sports. A locker room with 12 guys is very different than a locker room with 53. Well, the dynamics of shifting one player in or out can completely change your basketball locker room. Mm-hmm. One player shouldn't have as that significant an effect on a football team's locker room.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying the Eagles fell apart just because they got rid of C.J. Gardner, you know, strictly because mm-hmm. they got rid of C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Nor am I saying, hey, you know, at no point in time during that skid last season when the Eagles were falling apart, was I saying, you know what, these Bulls had C.J. Gardner-Johnson in the locker room. This would never be happening. He might have been able to help.
I will tell you this, though. There is. I did say this last year. That's the defense was extremely vulnerable in the middle of the field.
That is true.
And what I did remind people is if they went back to the previous year
yep.
when Avante Maddox and C.J. Gardner-Johnson missed a couple of games, you saw a stretch where quarterbacks were putting up records for completion percentages and such. They had the same issue. They were very vulnerable in the middle of the field. So from that regard, yeah, he was missed.
Mm-hmm.
And we may not have been directly saying we need CD Deuce, but we definitely knew we needed someone who could bring what he had given us the year before.
Yeah, definitely. So far, you're all in on the Eagles preseason moves, free agency. We're going into the draft coming up and still.
So far, I'm good with all the moves, but there's still a lot more to be done. We got to wait and see what happens with Sweat and Reddick. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's the draft coming. We got to see what Howie decides to do with the right guard position. So for now, I'm okay with the moves being made. It looks like we're going in the right direction for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot more to be done still. A
lot more. But so
we still don't know what's happening with James Bradberry, mm-hmm. and we likely won't till after June 1st.
Yeah. But so far, you're feeling kind of positive, though. So far, mm-hmm. There's good vibes coming from the NovaCare Center.
Absolutely.
Excited about the fact that we got Saquon Barkley. Excited. I was sitting here and maybe you and I need to keep better records, because I was looking for the show where we talked about hating Saquon Barkley as he came into the league as a Penn State player, then going to a hated rival.
Oh, we've had that conversation a couple times.
Yeah. And I was trying to find it and I couldn't find it. I need to keep better records. I have all our shows, and they're in a bunch of different files, and I keep on telling my son I need to organize this stuff and put it all on the cloud. All our shows right now are on a hard drive. I got it right here. This is the life of Jonesy and Brown, right here in my hand. I gotta do better. I admit, it's all good. But I was trying to find that.
I'll say this though: if there was one thing Howie could have done, and I don't know that he could have, because he did get the guy for only $7 million. But if he could have got a 26-year-old Devin White on a 3 or 4 year deal rather than the 1 year deal, that would have been great. But like I said, I assume he's probably looking to draft someone.
Yeah.
And have them ready to take a larger role in their second year. But yeah, I like the moves.
Time will tell. Time will tell. All right. I'm going to ask you this question. We can either get into it or we can call it a night. Would you like to talk Sixers?
So next week, we'll be back and working on something. So hopefully we'll have a guest on here with us.
All right. Looking forward to that.
I am too.
All right. Well, look, there you have it. I'm not going to force this issue. Not to wait these last couple of weeks of God. Hey, if you feel it is what it is. You see what's been happening.
I mean,
hey, if you really want us to talk about it, we'll come back and we'll talk about it. But for now,
they played the Knicks on Sunday, and the score was 15-15 at the end of one. That should tell you everything you need to know.
That's what happens when one team is playing as bad as they can possibly play, and another team is just playing. And the team that was playing as bad as they possibly could play played a whole lot better when they came back in that second game. And you saw what happened. But it is what it is. You tell us what you think of what we talked about today. You hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, or Twix at BITW Sports or at Jonesy and Brown. It's all one word, Jonesy and Brown. Remember, you can download this podcast wherever you get your favorite podcast from. All right, just go to BITWSports.com. There's a list. It's all there. All the places that serve up Jonesy and Brown and Best in the World Sports. You can also follow us, you know, whatever you need to do. It's all there on BITWSports.com. Final thoughts from Mike Jones.
It's Howie season. It's fun watching them work.
There you go. I love it. I love it. Enjoy the conference championships, all right? Enjoy them. Hopefully your team will go on a run. In a minute, I'm going to turn on and watch Morgan State play Howard in the MEAC tournament. Maybe we can get a second game out of this one. Maybe. But more than likely, they'll be watching the tournament with me on the couch. But it does, you know, it is what it is. Enjoy the sports. We'll be back. You'll hear from us again. All right, y'all. Peace.
Peace.
This podcast is a production of Best in the World Sports, a division of Definitive Visions Multimedia. To subscribe, download, and follow on social media, go to BITWSports.com.
You're listening to Jonesy and Brown.